Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Soul Purpose Healing and our portion, Homeless No More Radio. We're listening to the beautiful music of India Ari, asking that pertinent question, am I my brother's keeper? And it's a question we all ask when we see men and women and children in what we consider a homeless state. My name is Viata. I'm your hostess for the night. Thank you for tuning in. This is going to be probably a short podcast tonight, unless we have some really excited listeners who want to make several comments. But I was really struck recently by an email that I received from a brother in California. Excuse me. And he was talking about a homeless man in such a way. And in fact, let me read you his email. And then we want to ask the question, is homelessness a state of mind only? What is it about being homeless that the universe is trying to get our attention, both those who are homeless and those who are not? But this is from a brother in California, and he writes in his email, I saw a homeless man in such despair and torment 2 days ago, such as indescribable legion many. Reaching out through binding thoughts his filth and calling out for speechless understanding. His hands fluttering uncontrollably, corner bound and total helpless condition. Rising nonetheless. I sat near him for hours in tears for my death for him, and light shone on him from the south, activating his willingness to see light and love in constant unity. As I cast the bread out on the water in trust and love, the wild one came close. I saw the transformation break so gently at the shell, and light brought him forth unto me. I loved him and wept with him and his very broken words of clarity. This man had not changed his clothes for so long his pants had actually rotted off of his body, and he had become a walking dead man. When I discovered his name was Yohanan, I knew he was symbolic of rejection, and sure enough, everyone rejected him to the point of their own insanity manifesting in him. When I activated these light principles from things understood towards him, the fire and breath of the Elohim showed up. This is like poetry, homeless condition poetry. And it just reminded me of so many situations that I have been here in Orlando, even, where I just wanted to cry for the men and women I observed around Lake Eola Park here in Orlando. And yet, last night on our show, Rainbow Coalition, Rock Medicine Women, I had an aha moment, an awakening as to the state of homelessness, whether it's a state of mind only. Because we had a woman on our show who is in her 70s, and she has made the choice to leave all her material possessions, sell all her material possessions, and go out and in a van and live on the roads as a nomad woman and bless people with her love and her energy. And so I begin to think about the choices we make. And sometimes we need to be homeless to wake up to what is really important in life. Because this man was changed, who wrote this email, he was changed by spending time with a homeless person. And so often we think we're supposed to have the American dream. We're supposed to have we grow up, our parents have this dream, and our friends have this dream. We're supposed to grow up, have a nice job, two-car garage, a big house, and a nice job. But does it occur to us that that's not our Creator's plan? That's not our Heavenly Father's plan for us. And so we go around almost in a dream world thinking we've got to have that American dream. We've got to have the American. We're unhappy. We're in debt. And we continue to pursue the American dream. When the universe, the angels may be calling us to a simpler life of just connecting with the lost, connecting with the downtrodden, connecting with other homeless people who are a lot worse off than we are. Because there are different stages of homelessness. There are those who have absolutely no money in their pocket. They're only living with the clothes on their back. And then there are those who have a vehicle. At least they have a vehicle, and they have a checking account or savings account, or they have some source of income. There's such a wide variety of homeless situations. But then there's the mind, the state of mind of homelessness, that we come into this earth in the womb of our mother, and we are meant to learn lessons. We are learning lessons. And so if we keep before us that this is really not our home, it's really just a university of lessons. And if we are open to receive the wisdom and the understanding that comes to us through other people, then we might not struggle as much when we lose the big four-bedroom, two-bath house and the two cars and the job. But we have to stay in a state of awareness that maybe this lifestyle that I'm so stressed out about, maybe this is not the path I'm supposed to be on. And so our mission here on Homeless No More is to help people prevent homelessness, to help people build their own home, and to help people learn how to plant their own food. This is all relevant, though. It's all relevant to the individual's belief system that they grew up with and the choices that person makes in their journey. And then there comes a place when it's a wake-up call that you are not meant to have the big house and the cars that you've been pursuing, because there's no value in that. It is not in the Creator's plan for your journey to pursue material things. So this state of mind that we have, oh dear, I'm homeless. Homeless from what? All of us are homeless from our heavenly place where our soul dwells. And so if we can really get into that thought, that mindset that says, I'm never homeless here on earth, unless I choose to think that way. And so I've been really just thinking about that, and as I'm preparing to sell my house and move on, what possessions am I going to take on when I leave this big house? Just as our friend last night shared, she's in a lot more peaceful state of mind, not having those material things. And I see so many people clinging to their past, to the point where they're hoarding in their house. Their houses are so cluttered that things are covered with dust, and they can't let go of things because Susie Q or Mary Jane gave them that, and they bought that in Germany, and they bought that in Paris, and they're living in a totally cluttered, congested situation. Their health is poor, and yet they can't see that this is all about letting go of the material things and embracing the spiritual things that our Creator and Father would have us embrace. So this show is all about waking us up, bringing a new awareness, I think, to what homelessness means and how you can actually have some joy if you consider yourself without material things. You might have more joy than you've ever had in your life. So I'm going to open up the call here. I have someone, 336-350 area code. You're on the air. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Sister. Sister.
I just
love us. I'm calling from the Gila Reservation in Arizona at the moment. Sister. I give thanks to the Most High for you and this platform and just your being and your wisdom and your knowledge that you are kind enough to want to share with all of these earth beings. Sister Beata, thank you. This is Mama AZ, Robert Paris, and Angel Jojo likes to call me Robert, and I love it. and hopefully she has chimed in because she is doing this as we speak firsthand. You know, I do this too, but right now I'm stationary, and everything that you said this evening is so on point. It's so on point. And I'd like to share to your listening audience and greetings to the family and everybody, my extended family. Go up on your contraption and look up teardrop houses or home, tear, like you shed a tear.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, sister. That is a perfect solution. Teardrop. Maybe you can do that while you're on your blog talk. But it's teardrop homes, these cute little bugger homes. And perfect nomadic situation, you see. And once, if we can learn to get down to that, just what JoJo is doing, and I'm asking the Creator to give her a health boost enough to get here so that we can put our two heads together and create something out of nothing, and encourage ones who look like us, meaning women, to let go. To let go. I admire JoJo so much. I ask the Creator 24/7, and when I see my sister and myself, my sister here in Arizona, I'm like, oh, God, I got to get rid of so much, but I'm ready. I'm ready, Sister Viata. I'm ready to get down to a teardrop, container. So I just want to say to everybody, you know, there's a change coming. There's a change coming. And women, love yourself or yourselves. No matter what your situation may be, a change is coming. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank us, Sister Viata, for allowing me to say this.
Yes, thank us, because you, like you express, you're ready. So many people are just not ready. I've tried to, it's like pulling teeth. I've tried to convince people. I was in a home last week that someone called me and asked me if I could work in the home that said they needed cleaning. Well, it turned out they just needed dusting, 3.5 hours of dusting, and the house was so cluttered. And these people were in their 80s, one, the husband 81, 89, and it was just amazing how cluttered this house. You could barely move in between the furniture because they collected furniture from Germany. They collected 20 million cups from every place they've ever visited, and they're all just loaded with dust. And I asked this person if I could take a few things, and it was like only two items were released. And then they said, well, you have to return that one because that was given to me by so-and-so.
Yeah.
And I thought, with all this stuff in this house, you actually want me to return something? So it just woke me up to how people are not ready. Even at 80-some years old, people are not ready to let go of their stuff. In fact, that's when I think it's really crucial. It's like chronic illness that you, at 80, you are not ready to let go of your stuff. You're about to exit this earth. You cannot take this stuff with you. Hello, wake up.
Right.
You can't take it with you.
That's right.
And I said to him, he only had one daughter. It was in California, and she was saying, you need to come live with me. But, no, we can't leave here. We have too much. They didn't say this, but my impression was, we have too much stuff that we have to hold on to. You got one foot in the grave. The wife was in bed sick the whole time I was there. One foot in the grave, and you're holding on to a house full of stuff. To me, that's like insanity. It's like a psych. It's an illness. It's a disease.
Yes. Sister, this is good teaching for one of your new businesses. This is you're in training. First-hand training, hands-on training, my sister. Not only to assist Mama AZ, if you choose to, to assist many others to let go, because it's time.
Yes. And as JoJo so beautifully pointed out yesterday, you're either going to let go willingly or the universe is going to push you out of your comfort zone that you've been in for 80 years on this earth.
Yes, that
and
was
that's going to be
what
pretty
you
rough.
Said.
Yes. You either go willingly now with our help, or you're going to be pushed out into home, or maybe out in the streets where you don't want to be. So it's better to start letting go of this stuff now so you don't end up on the street for your homeless 101 class. That's what I'm calling it.
Yes.
Homeless 101 is when you have not been listening to the voice of the Creator, the spirits, the angels telling you, let go, let go, let go. Instead, you've been holding on to that stuff until you're in homeless 101 class where you have nothing and you're on the street. So it's really, I'm not trying to be cruel or unkind, but that's where a lot of people are homeless, is that they have not been listening to the loving, caring voice of the Spirit that has been nudging them to make changes in their life.
Yes. You know something? I had the great fortune to be open enough to listen to my dad from the other side coaching me and guiding me. And he guided me to this beautiful, beautiful sister. I call her Dr. Stanley. That was a phenomenal connection. She started me on my journey of beginning to heal from my family sister. You know, when I left home at 27. My mom had made me the executor of our property, and then I had my own that I had built at 19, and I left at 27, and I turned it over to my daughter and my brother. And need I say what happened? I had a nervous breakdown behind that in a mild stroke, and I learned from that. I'm just recently learning from that episode. That was the Creator's way of detachment and or assisting me, even though it did not flow as I would have liked it to, and that's another time. I'll make it short. However, it was meant to be. It was a very abrasive way of removing me from detaching the detachment of things and putting me on this path. And where I am now, sister, if my family, my brother and my daughter and everybody had not been the catalyst at that time to push me out of the tree, however that happened, then I would not be able to be here, you see. And it's such a detailed story, but I'm just giving you a synopsis at the moment. So to make a long story short, just like Angel JoJo said yesterday, you can either take a chill pill and ease on down the road or up the road, or you can have that tornado by way of family or actually a tornado to come through and sweep you up to a level where you have nothing, so that you could be on the journey that your soul came here to be. And that's bottom line, sister. Bottom line, when people have these situations, their soul has given instructions and a map before they come back through the gateway to this incarnation to develop some area. And I know this for a fact. If I don't know anything else, I know this for a fact, you see. So I love all of the special ones, the knowledgeable ones. Thank us.
Thank us. And we have, I believe we have Sister JoJo on the line, 760-362. Is that you, JoJo?
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey,
how are you?
JoJo.
Fine, guys. You both sound so wonderful. It's so clear tonight. Everything is so... You've got that voice. You know what I'm saying? That just pulls everybody in to listen to you. So nice.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you get it last night.
A teardrop? Yeah, you did.
Yes.
Did you get the text of the teardrop?
Yeah, I didn't. I got the number. I'm going to give it a call tomorrow. Teardrop.com. I want to see what that's all about to be able to maybe point people over to that. I just want to kind of like roll back if we can on the word homeless. I like you guys, if you can, to take, and all the listeners, if you can take your hand and lay it on your chest. Can you do that right now? Lay it on your chest. Everybody do?
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to sit down. Just give me a minute. I'm going to sit down.
Okay.
Take a deep breath.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Okay, now, take your finger, your index finger, and tap into your heart. Tap into it. Got it? Okay. That is where our home is. That is where our home is.
Mm-hmm.
This is, no one takes our home away from us. This is a sacred franchise. That is where, now, homeless, no one takes that home away from us. Nobody. People may not discover it, and they're ones that are in between. I call them in betweenies. This home that God gave us, every room that's filled in this house, our house, has secrets, stories, confirmation, love, May. That's what the house is full of. Now, if people outside don't know where this house is, we have a commodity out here of competition. People who stay with all of their belongings over the years, there's only one thing that they have to show, because we come to the end of this life, what is there to show? We're old, we're saggy, we don't have enough money to live on, blah, blah, whatever old age brings us. But what we have stocked in our house, which is the material house, that's our life. That shows all different sorts of speculation to what we have lived in the past. And a lot of people don't want to give that up because they're so afraid to look at the future. If they would get rid of all of that stuff and they would give enough room for the new things in their future that comes with age. Age is like a bottle of fine wine, you know? And there are, you put on the page for love and caring and all new discoveries. So what you're talking about is mortgages. That's what we are out here. We have no mortgages to worry about. We have no bills to worry about. There are 4.5 million American nomads, new American nomads that are out here now in this nation. 4.5 million. These guys give everything up, mortgages, houses, they take their pensions and they take their Social Security. They buy a vehicle, whether it be a van or else a 40-foot slider, fifth wheel, and go out and live their life out from under. And I'll tell you something, the people that you meet out here that are new American nomads are the nicest, kindest, happiest people you'd ever want to meet. You know why? They're out from under the BS. They're out from under everything that consists to be detachable to life. Now, you have out here that man that we were talking about, that you were writing that, you read that beautiful poem about, that man is okay. Because you know what? It said many, many a time that the Creator's chosen children are that man. That's his chosen child. Because you know why? He doesn't want the materialistic stuff. He just wants to get up every day, go for some breakfast, push around his little cart, sit in a corner, cry, pee, do whatever he wants to do. Because if you remember, this, the guy that we all know, he used to walk the desert in a tunic and sandals. He had a fig, glass of wine, that's all he ate. And that was Jesus Christ. So what is it that we have here with all of these? It's amazing. I, out here, I have to tell you, my family does not accept what I'm doing out here. I came 5,000 miles to come out to see them because I know I'm not well. It was amazing how they were just pushing me around to different houses in the family. Just stay for a few days here. I felt like I was a checkerboard. And that was okay because when I left there, which I did yesterday with all the pain, I cried and cried and cried. And then I said to myself, all right, what are you crying about, Joe? Talk to the higher spirit. And this is what was told to me. it's hard enough that I have to be out here to try to reach the people with prayer and love and concern and hope. Why don't I have that with my family?
Mm.
So we have here the family, who is my blood. Out here, I have all strangers who, like you said earlier, there's so many of them out here. There's some. I am exhausted at times. This time of night, between 5 and 8, I get lonely. I get tired because when I get done with my day's work, I look out my window in my van, and there's millions more, and I can't do it all. I cannot do it all. None of us can. But when it starts in the rejection of being in the family and in the house, it's very, it's more heartbreaking than to see what goes on out here that we contend with it and we can see. I mean, amazing. And the emptiness that the people have. The rich people are owned by banks, are owned by loan companies and credit cards. They have nothing. You go, you don't think they're homeless? Let me tell you something. They're more homeless than anybody because they don't see what's inside of us that can save us. That's homeless.
We're redefining homeless tonight. Because, as you pointed out, your heart is your home, and there are so many people who have wealth in material ways, but they have no heart. They are not conscious of that heart energy that's keeping them alive and that is wants to help them detach from things. And, you know, what you're saying about your blood relative, that's important. I've heard many homeless people who could not stay with their, quote, blood relatives in the same city because they did not understand them. They did not get along with them. They didn't know who they were. They didn't accept them. But don't you think, ladies, that part of our journey here is to find our true family, our spiritual family? And the blood relatives were just kind of a distraction along the way, or they were part of our schooling. They were part of our education in elementary school. Now that we are moving into high school and university school, we are finding our true family. And we have to leave those blood relatives alone. We're learning that lesson so powerfully right now that the people we have known all our lives since birth, since childhood, are not our real family, that they were just incidentals and our lesson for the elementary school. Now we have a new family, and we have to get to know our new family. We know the energy is good. We know it's right. And we have to detach from the not just the old family, but the material stuff to be maintaining our home. Hallelujah. Maintaining this heart that is so longing to have a family, a spiritual family, not these blood relatives who don't understand and they're deceived and in darkness. We just have to let the tornado handle them.
If I can interject just one second, you're so right in everything that you guys are saying. But let me tell you something. When I left the hurt yesterday, I had a lot of different thinking. And I think, AC, we talked about this a while back. To sit and worry and feel so unaccomplished with knowing our family, being with our family, being ignored by family. And now, with my age of 71, still I have the same pattern. Why should I feel bad and miss my blood relatives? Because if I would have been brought up by them, I'd be just like them now. And I will not accept that. I will not accept that. I will not. And so what are we talking about here? All right, it's a singular person. You're right. Go find family. But you know what? If I can't figure out what my family is, why should I bother taking all my time up to try to find something that is within myself with God? God is my family. You guys are all family. Everything that God puts us together with, we're family. But let me tell you something. We're all individual. We are all our own people. We're our own person. And that's what you talk about with the ladies. Every woman that's out there, I'm telling you, every one of them, they're their own person. And it's okay when families do that. That's okay. That's okay, because then we know the difference between yik and yak. We know that I know, I see them. And let me tell you something. I feel more sorry because, you know, they can't handle my illness and where I'm traveling. They want me to sit down. They want me to sit in a facility with hospice. And they want me to be in the place that they feel that they can understand. But they can't understand it because I am Josette. And no one takes that house away from me with it. That's my sacred franchise. I'm not homeless. Okay, I'm in between everything else out here. I don't want the negative. I don't want the positive. I just want to go where God can speak to me. I'll curl up in his nap of his neck close to his ear and catch what's important for me to listen to. You know what I mean, guys? You know what I mean?
Yes, I hear you driving in, JoJo. Do you know, let me tell you, Sister Viata, how this angel came to physically be presented to my eyeballs in the physical. I went to help Vanilla Bright take her car from the mechanic in Flagstaff, Arizona, to Winslow. And something told me before I even drove out of the mechanic shop that I was going to meet somebody very shortly, that I would have to stop, take a break. And I just kind of passed it on. And then I got closer to that rest stop, and something said, you better stop now, you know. And it was 8 miles from Winslow, right next to the big crater there. And go to the ladies' room, and there was JoJo. And I said, oh, I said, you got a cute head. And she said to me, well, do you have cancer too? I said, no, ma'am. And I commented on her head because back in the day, I would snatch her up in a minute to design headgear for her to be in my fashion show. I was good for that, you know. And her head is shaped, is perfect, okay? And the rest is history. So she ended up coming back to Vanilla Bright in Winslow, and we had a most wonderful chat, and she rested. And I knew then that was who the angels and the ascended masters whispered in my ear, and I heard it. And I'm like, wow.
Can I ask you guys, how did you two meet? I've always wondered, you two are so strong in your collaboration. How did you guys meet?
That's kind of
Lord.
Funny. Over the phone. We've never met face to face, but we've met over the phone. And then she introduced me to the brother here in Florida, L.A. Davis. Networking.
Yeah, okay, it was through networking. It was Chesedek.
Now, I see.
And Brother Mel Chesedek, yes, ma'am. And he, we got in the conversation, he and I, because he was here at the Elders, Mother Hankins in South Phoenix. And so I happened to be over there to try to get him to assist me in moving some things for one of my students. And so something happened, and he said to me, oh, you gotta connect with my sister. She's written this book, you know, da 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 da. And he called Sister Viata. And then I called her later, and the rest is history. And so it's interesting. Networking is really interesting. Yeah.
And you know, as you say that, you know, the angels and the messengers and the Heavenly Father just connecting us to our families. Isn't it interesting
Hello?
How that's being done?
I mean, yes. Meeting someone in Arizona, you know, and then calling me in Orlando and say, here, you all need to be connected, and then we're connected.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of, and then it goes on and on and on. And then we have to understand that who is this person? Why are they in my life? Do we have work to do together?
We have to overstand, sister.
Yes. We have to overstand, why is this person being connected to me? What do we have to do together to bring peace on this earth? And as JoJo pointed out, to bring peace to the heart. So many people don't have peace in their home, their heart.
They don't. And you know,
this
something,
is the
I
key.
Think we're all apart. I think we're all apart. I think what you're talking about, I mean, I think, yes, we're all family. But I think we're missing pieces to the puzzle that doesn't fit with what's going on
yes.
on this planet.
Yes.
And I think that without us being the puzzles, pieces to the puzzle that are now going to start fitting, there's going to be some changes, there's going to be some identification, there's going to be some, hey, collaboration. And you know, we may be just small pieces of the puzzle right now, but it takes those small pieces to be the cornerstone to the whole view of what's going on here. Because, you know, it's like those who throw the stones away in the long run will end up being the cornerstone to this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that with what you're talking about, it's absolutely true. Yeah, we're family, but I think also we are pieces, missing pieces or scattered pieces. And this makes it not only the puzzle, but it makes the congratulations that we're now going to be invited into our champagne room, that the higher spirit is putting us together to finish up what we have to do on this planet, because there's so many missing pieces to the puzzle. I look out my window and I see so many people. And you know something? The more I'm away from pretty much of all the mundane and the monetary way of living, I sit in these rest areas, you know, it's getting to be as with a human being, it's starting to look like they're on a conveyor belt, they all are the same. They get out of their car, they go take the pee, they wash their hands, they come out, they rest, and they get back in their big car, and they take off. Here come the truckers come in, they blow their horns, they get sweeps, they go out and they move the nation. There is nothing new out here. Except people like us. Now, we're new.
Mm-hmm.
So we're here on a mission. But, you know, as I said earlier, it breaks my heart because there's so many of them out here that are on that conveyor belt. It's like they're cookie cutters. There's nothing new. There's nothing different. Just like you said. Just like you guys said. So you can ask, tell me this. What so different that we're going to give them? What's so different? Could you maybe guide me on that? Because I've been out here a long time.
You're asking the question, what is so different?
Yeah, what is so different about us compared to these people that, that don't forget? There's only maybe, what, a couple million of us, if not more or less, but what it's not the idea of what can we do. What power and strength that once we go and get everything together here and we start fitting the pieces to the puzzle into this whole picture here, what's going to be the end result for us? Can you guys maybe help me with that? Talk to me like a six-year-old, because I'm just sitting here going, wow.
Well, you know what? One thing I talked about on my show, Soul Purpose Healing, about war. I was talking about war on a show a couple of, last weekend or week ago, and why and the plan, how the cosmos, the universe, has been preparing us for this transformation. We are going through a transformation. And part of the transformation is for us to learn how to discern clearly the adversary's energy versus the creator's energy of love, compassion, wisdom, and understanding, and patience. And so I think partly to answer your question, and if anyone who's listening on the line, if you have ideas, feel free to hit number one. But I see part of our puzzle, the puzzle is being in line with this transformation that has begun, moving with the flow of the wave that has already begun, and helping others to ride the wave of truth and discern the adversarial energy and move to the creator's energy. I was just thinking when you were talking about just how people who have no four-bedroom, two-bath house, how they don't necessarily need maybe a tiny house or even a teardrop home. They maybe need a van. Maybe we can form a social capital group just to get them a nice van with a window like yours where they can have a bit. This way, they've got to get rid of their stuff. You can't put all that stuff in a van. And if you get a tiny house or a teardrop, they're going to bring some stuff into even the tiny house. So the smaller the space, the better.
When did you guys ever see a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer? I have never seen that.
That's right, Jojo. That's right. And you have so inspired me, Jojo. So let me tell you something, my angel. From this very moment, I don't want to hear anything about the creator. Come on and take me, because let me tell you something. You have started a revolution over here in my vibrational arena, Angel Jojo. And heck, you ain't going nowhere. I'm gonna talk some stuff to the Most High and say, look here, we got to inspire others, and I need Angel Jojo to get me in line with her knowledges and how she did it and gave away everything, and she's chilling in that van, and it's immaculate, you see. So I will not be satisfied. After you do all the teaching and the apprenticeship program that you've created, and I'm one of your apprentices, then after you get it started and complete it, Jojo, then you can call up the Most High, the Creator, and say, well, I'm ready now. But until then, you ain't going nowhere. Thank you.
That's right. I'm convinced now a tiny house is too big for some people. They need to start smaller with a van.
I sat down with all of my stuff, and I said, when in doubt, throw it out. I took everything and distributed where I felt people needed it. And you know something I got to tell you? It was more joy for me to see them happy with the vacuum or the cooker or whatever it was than for me to go and purchase it for my kitchen. There was no joy there. The joy was when I gave it to these people. And that is the beginning, like you guys want to say, reaching out for the universe, trying to go and get people. I see so many people. I woke up to people, and I smile. I hug them. I said, you know, you need a hug. Come here. Everybody hugs. And they said, thank you. And I smile at them, and I tell a joke at them. And just for that one thing, and they walk away, and they say, thank you. And I move
Jojo,
on.
Jojo, say that again about the hugs, in case there are any listening who don't believe in hugs.
The hugs. When, I go up and I go, come here. I said, you need a hug. Out of nowhere. And they say, especially, you want to know, especially the very heavy people. And let me make you the warmest hug. You're so soft like a biscuit. And they go and they hug. And I feel good taking a hug from them. I feel great. And it doesn't matter how old or whatever they are. I mean, they stay. I go, can I have a hug? I don't feel good today. Can I have a hug? Why, sure, honey. And they give me a bear hug, and it's like, oh, thank you. And I walk away. I said, holy mackerel, a wrestler. She belongs in Madison Square Garden. I mean, I don't tell her that, or him that. But, you know, you should go on the line. It's called hugsfree.com. Did you hear that website?
Hugsfree.com.
Yeah, it's hugsfree, freehugs.com. It's all over the world. And everybody stands out in crowds with big signs, free hugs. Free hugs.
Wow.
And one girl that started it Yeah, one girl started in New York City, and she was beautiful. She had a special type of costume, you know, to match the theory of what she was doing, and they were hugging and hugging. But now they had different countries. Now, in Japan, you see how funny. In Japan, the girl was holding it up, and the people walking by putting their fingers on their hand and going, nobody wanted to hug her. It was so funny.
That's crazy.
It's so funny to see that. But try to do that. Hugs for free or freehugs.com. You're doing it all over the world. And I'm almost ready to do it myself. I just got to find the place to do it where I think it's going to be needed, you know. But I can honestly say that I didn't feel good today with my heart and myself, with what happened yesterday, you know. But I got to tell you something. You have reinforced me to know that what I'm doing out here means something.
Oh, yeah.
But it means, it's like with you guys. Every day you get up and there's always a new plan that the Creator is giving you to go out and do. Now, you're going to be moving. You're going to be selling your house. Now, where are you going, sweetheart? Are you going to go to another place to live? Or what are your plans? Do you have anything?
I have no idea at this point. I'm waiting for the Most High to give me some direction. I thought I knew, but every day that goes by, it's been 7 months that this house has been on the market, and every day that goes by, I get messages, but then I'm not getting confirmation. I have visions, but it's not being confirmed. So I'm just waiting and seeing what happens. I'd love to have a place where you could come, nomads, women could come, men and women could stop and be refreshed. But I need a tiny house. Wherever I am, I need a tiny house, and then maybe a place for others to come to. That tiny house is definitely a...
You know what, though? I'm so happy you're doing this. I really am. And I'm kind of like in the middle of everything right now, the in-between life. And I could go and get a house. If I wanted a place, you know, to stay, I'd get it tomorrow. I'd call up and I'd get it tomorrow. I have connections. But I don't want to do that right now. But if I do, I don't know how long I have with my health. But if I do, and you do that, and I see people out here, I'll bring them to you, and then I'll stay too. You know, if I come up and I say, hey, I got somebody with some children, would you take children too?
Oh yes, definitely. It would be our father's house.
Do you know what I found out the other day? You know, We have 2 million children that are homeless in this nation. Where do we begin? The fact is, we can't adopt every puppy in the pound, but God, if we can take one or two, there's 2 million children are home. God.
Yeah, and I was reading an article in the Orlando Weekly today about a prostitute on the streets for many years, and she was addicted to cocaine, and I just couldn't help but wonder, what was her childhood like? They didn't talk about that, but that's how many homeless people end up being in prostitution and addicted to drugs, because they get money for the prostitution. But she learned some powerful lessons, and it was her choice to be in that lifestyle, and now she's free of it, and she's trying to get herself together. So whatever happened, those children are going to learn some powerful lessons, I think. Watching their parents, if their parents are with them, they're going to learn that they don't never ever want to be homeless again, or hopefully they will learn value, what's valuable in their life, just being with their family. Maybe the most precious thing that they have right now when they're homeless. They might see that very clearly, whereas their parents are struggling, I don't have a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. And those children are like so grateful that the family's together.
Oh, yeah.
So
I think more
it's all about
people help them.
What are the parents teaching? I just hope the parents can be, in that situation, the parents can be conscious and help those children learn the important lesson when they're in that situation. So they'll grow up remembering, I was homeless, but my mom was always telling me this wouldn't last and giving us hope. And
And I knew that someday that we'd be better off, and so now I'm very grateful. Gratitude. I think they might
That's
come
right.
out with more gratitude. Whereas, think about it, if they're in a two-bed, three-bedroom, four-bedroom, two, three-baths, luxurious home, what lessons do they learn? They're spoiled, they're greedy, ungrateful. There's something
Absolutely.
To be said about even the children being homeless. Because we these days,
Absolutely.
Children need a spanking. Too many of them
yes.
are not learning the lesson of gratitude.
True.
May I interject something here, sister?
Go ahead.
Sure. My girls taught me a lot, and it's a
mm-hmm.
long story, and I know the show is just about up, and it, this is a whole nother show. But let me interject this. Because of Angel JoJo, you, Sister Elzora, Miss Susie P., and... Sister Deborah Moman, who is my friend of Baha'i here, I'm going to tell you what you're going to be doing, sister. I told you, I cannot do this by myself. The Creator has gifted me a spot temporarily to resurrect my teaching. And I'm, you know, you have got to be helping me with creating the little window treatment and everything else that we need to go along with Sister Elzoro's quilting and what have you for the hostel and for the bed and breakfasts. And so
uh-huh.
I want to tell you that the school is partially up and running. I've been teaching classes, and I just found out that I have a tribe of young ones who may be coming physically to be a part of this. See, when I started this, I would teach on the factory machine the young ones from the age of 6 to 12. And when they were 6, they couldn't sit down. They would have to stand up and manipulate
wow.
the gas pedals, and
right.
you should see the things that those young babies created coming out of Miss Lee's class, they called it, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I'm resurrecting that, sister. I'm going to be teaching these young babies, hopefully also Sister Susie P's tribe, because that sister got a phenomenal, phenomenal tribe. How to create the whatever you need for your bed and breakfasts. And that little teardrop thing, oh, my God, that would be perfect for the hostel on wheels. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
I'm doing that. And the store will be up and running by the end of this month, and all because of what I saw from Sister Elzoro's tribe out of Jacksonville and New Jersey and here in Missouri. So
mm-hmm.
I can't do this by myself. I'm out on a limb. If you only knew. So
yes, I know.
Just get ready, sister. Just get ready.
Just get ready. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Come on over here, and I can teach you and inspire you. JoJo, she's passing through as well whenever she gets here, and then when
mm-hmm.
she does, she's going to heat it up as well. And so
mm-hmm.
This is a good thing. Okay?
Yes, it is.
So,
it's all good. All right. Well, thank you, ladies. Keep your hearts open. And above all, protect your hearts. Don't let anyone
yes.
Invade your home unless they're invited. So thank you all so
yes,
much
thanks.
For being on tonight. And we're at the we did
thank
a perfect
you.
Show
yes,
once again with all this love energy here. And so be blessed and thank us. And
thank
shalom.
Shalom, honey. Bye, bye, guys.
a host. Love you, James. JoJo.